Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Karma Sayam Hridaya Granti Bandham. Karma Sayam Hridaya Granti Bandham. Avidyaya Sadhitama Pramattaha. Avidyaya Sadhitam Apramatta. Anena Yogena Yatopadesham. Anena Yogena Yatopadesham. Samyag Vyapoyo Param Eta Yogat. Samyag Vyapoyo Param Eta Yogat. Karma Sayam Hridaya Granti Bandham. Avidyaya Sadhitama Pramattaha. Anena Yogena Yatopadesham. Samyag Vyapoyo Parameta Yogat. Karma Sayam Hridaya Granti Bandham. Avidya Sadhitama Pramattaha. Anena Yogena Yatopadesham. Samyag Vyapoyo Parameta Yogat. Karma Sayam Hridaya Granti Bandham. Avidyaya Sadhitama Pramattaha. Anena Yogena Yatopadesham. Samyag Vyapoyo Parameta Yogat. Karma Sayam Hridaya Granti Mastam. Avidyaya Sadhitam Vapramatta. Anena Yogena Yatopadesham. Samyak Papoyo Panameta Yogat. Karma Sayam Hridaya Granti Bandham. Avidyaya Sadhitam Apramatta. Anena Yogena Yatopadesham. Samyak Vyapoyo Parameta Yoga. Ladies? Kamasayam, the desire for fruitive activities. Hridaya Granti, the knot in the heart. Bandham, bondage. Avidyaya, because of ignorance. Asaditam, brought about. Apramataha, not being covered by ignorance or illusion. Very careful. Anena, by this. Yogena, practice of yoga. Yata upadesham, as advised. Samyak, completely. Vyapoya, becoming free from. Uparameta, one should desist. Yogat, from the practice of yoga, the means of liberation. Translation. As I have advised you, my dear sons, you should act accordingly. Be very careful. By these means, you will be freed from the ignorance of the desire for fruitive activity, and the knot of bondage in the heart will be completely severed. For further advancement, you should also give up the means. That is, you should not become attached to the process of liberation itself. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The process of liberation is Brahma Jigyasa, the search for the Absolute Truth. Generally, Brahma Jigyasa is called Neti Nati, the process by which one analyzes existence to search out the Absolute Truth. This method continues as long as one is not situated in his spiritual life. Spiritual life is Brahma-Bhuta, the self-realized state. In the words of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 54, Brahma-Bhuta prasantatma naso chiti na kanchiti sama sarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktin labhate param. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. The idea is to enter into the para bhakti, the transcendental devotional service of the Lord. To attain this, one must analyze one's existence. But when one is actually engaged in devotional service, he should not bother seeking out knowledge. By simply engaging in devotional service, undeviatingly, one will always remain in the liberated condition. Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, text 26. The unflinching execution of devotional service is in itself Brahma-Bhuta. Another important feature in this connection is anena yogena yatopadesham. The instructions received from the spiritual master must be followed immediately. One should not deviate from or surpass the instructions of the spiritual master. One should not simply intent on one should not be simply intent on consulting books, but should simultaneously execute the spiritual master's order, yatopadesham. Mystic power should be achieved to enable one to give up material conception. But when one actually engages in devotional service, one does not need to practice the mystic yoga system. The point is that one can give up the practice of yoga, but devotional service cannot be given up. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 7, Text Number 10, Atmaramas Chamunayo, Nirgrantha, Yurukrama, Kurvanti Yaitukim Bhaktim, Itam Buddha Gunahriya. Even those who are liberated, Atmarama, must always engage in devotional service. One may give up the practice of yoga when one is self-realized, but at no stage can one give up devotional service. All other activities are for self-realization including yoga and philosophical speculation, may be given up, but devotional service must be retained at all times. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, this chapter is about the instructions of Lord Rishabhdev to his sons. That's the duty of a father, is to instruct his sons. And in particular, to instruct them in spiritual life. One should not become a father if one does not intend to see to it that his wards or children become advanced in spiritual life, and that they don't have to take birth again. Advanced in spiritual life means no more birth in the material world. So if one cannot do that, then one shouldn't become a father. What we see here, Lord Rishabhdev is setting the example for all fathers to follow by instructing his sons in the science of bhakti, devotional service, or Krishna consciousness. And we see from the previous verse the process of devotional service is perfectly delineated, step by step. That was three verses put together, 10 through 13. Four verses, 10, 11, 12, and 13. So, Brahma-bhuta jigyasa, are inquiring about the absolute truth. Prabhupada mentions that generally it's conceived of by analyzing what is not spiritual. Neti, neti means not this, not this. Right? So by analyzing the material world, one can understand gradually by viewing the various things in the world, but this is not the Supreme Brahman. This is not the Supreme Brahman. Neti, neti. To eventually come to what is the Supreme Brahman. So, it begins by understanding that I'm not this body, I'm the eternal spirit soul. But that goes a step beyond. Because, yes, I'm not this body, but then the natural question, then who am I? If I'm not this body, then who am I? Generally, we perceive who we are by getting a reflection from the material world and our material circumstance. So we're in a particular material circumstance, and due to that circumstance, we think we are something. Right? It's like if you look in the mirror, that reflection. So you conceive that reflection is who you are. That's who I am. Just like you're born in a particular family. We're all born in a particular family. And that family may be Indian, American, or Gujarati, or Marathi, or Irish, or whatever. Right? So because we're born in that particular family, therefore we're thinking, that's what I am. It's like looking in the mirror. And when you look in the mirror, you see some reflection, and you think, that's what I am. Right? So, the whole material world is like a mirror. It's reflecting to us what we are. But the problem is, it's not clear. The mirror is not clear. It's not giving a true reflection of what we really are. If you have a mirror and you're trying to see yourself, but, you know, there's so much dust on the mirror. The other day in class I mentioned 50 kgs of dust, right? So much dust and dirt on the mirror. How will I see myself? I may, you know, if it's just a little dusty, I might get some reflection, but I'm not going to get a real clear reflection about who I am or the image that I'm looking for. So what has to be done? One has to clear off the mirror. Clear off the mirror nicely. Get some ammonia. Clean it up. Right? Then you can get a true reflection. So, immaterial consciousness. Right? Material consciousness. What is material consciousness? Material consciousness is the desire for fruitive activities. Fruitive activities means working hard, getting some result, and thinking oneself to be the enjoyer of that result. So Lord Rishabhdev, he's instructing his sons, don't be carried away by fruitive activities. So one who's engaged in fruitive activities cannot understand or cannot get a true reflection of the self. Alright? Can't get a true reflection of the self. So spiritual life means understanding, beginning with who we are. And it begins by understanding who we're not. Right? So I'm not American, I'm not Indian, I'm not Gujarati, I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not the body, I'm not man, I'm not woman, I'm not tall, I'm not short. Neti, 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 neti. Right? So this is okay. This gradually brings one to the desired result. But then devotional service very quickly establishes one on the platform of who we are. Very quickly. And in a very kind of practical way engages us in that realization of who we are. And what is that? Devotional service establishes us in a very practical and accelerated understanding of who we are. And that is that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. Jivir Swarupoy Nitya Krishna Das. Just like for one who lives in the temple, right? The temple is the place of Krishna. It's actually a dham in one sense. It is a holy dham. Right? We spend so much money and effort to go to the dham, but actually the temple is also the dham. It's the abode of the Lord. It's the Lord's abode. Right? Who is the proprietor of this place? Krishna. And those persons that are living in the temple and working in the temple, they are the servants of the proprietor, the supreme proprietor, Lord Krishna. Every activity in the temple is meant to be done with consciousness that it is done for the proprietor. It's done for Krishna. Whatever it is, one may be chanting or worshipping the deity or cleaning the temple or making garlands, but these are meant to remind us of who we are serving, and that is Krishna. So the verse mentioned here from Bhagavad Gita is Brahma Bhuta Prasanta Atma. These activities on the spiritual platform, activities for Krishna, devotional service, hearing about Krishna, rendering service to Krishna, they bring one up to the Brahma-Bhuta platform. And from that, by serving Krishna, prasandatma, one gets happiness, just from the service itself. Right? Whatever that service may be. We may be fixing something or organizing something, right? But we get, just from that service, because it's for Krishna, one gets pleasure. And that's in the beginning stage. And that's very good, because it helps us be properly situated in Brahma-Bhuta. But in the later stages of devotional service, the happiness doesn't come so much from the activity itself, but it comes from the relationship that has developed between the devotee and the Lord. In the beginning, we render devotional service because of an intellectual understanding, that's what I should do. But even with that intellectual understanding, by rendering service to Krishna, just the service itself brings happiness. But as we go on, get purified, and we understand through the process of purification of who we are, gradually sambandha jnana develops. And that is relationship. A relationship with Krishna develops. Right? And based on that relationship, the devotee derives happiness and pleasure. Everyone is looking for happiness. Right? That's our nature. Krishna is anandamaya brihasat. He's always seeking pleasure. And as fragmental parts of Krishna, small parts of Krishna, we're also seeking pleasure. But the living entity, due to the desire for fruitive activities, right? Due to association with material contamination, the living entity wrongly thinks that his happiness depends upon something in this material world, which can never happen. No matter how much one tries to manipulate the material energy in various ways to bring about happiness, it doesn't work. Because that's the way Krishna made this place. Right? He made it what? Dukalayam and Ashashvatam. Right? So the living entity in conditioned consciousness is feverishly trying to make it sukalayam. Right? But it doesn't work. No matter how much you try. It's kind of like there's a story in Holland about a boy that put his finger in the dike. In Holland, the land is lower than the sea. Right? So they have built these dikes, which are walls of earth, to keep the sea back. Right? So one boy, he saw that the dike was cracked, and he put his finger there to stop the leak. Right? Right? So in material world, when we're trying to make some arrangement, it's like putting your finger in the dike. It's a very insignificant effort in relationship to the obstacles that one faces in the material world. We see that a man is attracted by a woman and they get married, right? That initial thing is attraction for the opposite sex. And then after they marry, that attraction becomes very firm. And from that, so many things are manifest. In fact, that's what stri means. Stri means to expand. Right? So when the man and woman come together, then there's children. Right? We have a mother, a father, maybe some brothers, some sisters. Right? As soon as you get married, then you've got a father-in-law, a mother-in-law, a brother-in-law, a sister-in-law, cousins. Everything becomes double. Right? Overnight. As soon as you say, I do, double ho gaya. Right? So expands. Then children. And the children have so many friends. And in order to maintain the whole show, one has to work very hard. Right? And then when you get old, and you can't work so much, you can't provide like you used to, then the family members start to neglect that who once provided everything. They neglect him. Are buddha ho gaya. Hamara baap buddha ho gaya. And they feel very unhappy because they work so hard, but they can't, you know, provide before like they did before. And this is very painful. Very painful situation for the living entity. Right? So material life, if it's not this, it's that. No matter from this side or that side, you know, unhappiness is going to get you. There's no avoiding it. So here Rishabhdev is explaining to his sons, don't get caught in this trap. Right? Rather do these things that he mentions in verse number 10 through verse number 13. Do these things. And what does he say? He says, apramatta. Apramatta means one who's not pramatta. Now what does it mean to be pramatta? Mad. Right? Apramatta. Don't be mad. Another translation that Prabhupada uses here is very careful. Be careful. Right? He's telling the sons, Maya's out there, and you can get in a situation under the influence of Maya that where you'll become very miserable. Right? And when somebody is very miserable, it's very difficult to render devotional service. In fact, it's not possible. It's not possible. So he's explaining, be careful. If you follow these things that he prescribed in the previous verse, you can become free from ignorance. Avidya. Asaditam. Avidya sadit. You can leave behind this suffering that's brought about by ignorance. And again, what is that ignorance? Ignorance is this idea that by working hard, I'll get some result and I will enjoy. Prahlad Maharaj also explains that this is a foolish proposition. And Prahlad Maharaj tries to help us understand that. He explains that although we don't want suffering, still suffering comes. We don't seek out suffering, but suffering comes. Why? Because of our previous activities in a different life. So therefore we suffer. In the same way, whatever happiness that is due to us, that's also bound to come, unsought. Right? It's not that by working very hard, one is going to increase one's allotment or quota of happiness. It's not possible. By working very hard, the only result that's going to come is that whatever you feel good about working hard, that's it. It's not going to increase your happiness. That's already fixed, Prahlad Maharaj says. So don't waste your time trying to increase your happiness or avoid misery. It's not possible. Rather, Prahlad Maharaj explains, you should spend your time trying to understand Atma Tattva. spiritual consciousness, our identity as the spirit self. And this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also advising. He explains in the first verse of the Shikshastakam, Cheto Dharpana Marjanam. One will understand one's real identity by chanting the holy name. Right? One will understand one is not this material body. And over and above that, he'll understand his identity in the spiritual world. We all have a relationship with Krishna. Just like in this material world, there's various relationships. Right? You can be someone's servant, someone's friend, someone's parent, someone's lover. Why do we have these relationships here in the material world? Because they're there in the spiritual world. And this material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. So because those relationships are there in the spiritual world, they're also here. But here they're filled with all kinds of problems. Right? All kinds of problems. A man and a woman, supposedly they love each other and they get married, but all they do is fight. Right? From morning till night, fights. There's a profession, it's called marriage counseling. But it's more like being a referee at a wrestling match. A marriage counselor. But in the spiritual world, these same relationships are there. Right? But without the problems. Because they're with Krishna. In the spiritual world, there's devotees that are Krishna's friend, devotees that are Krishna's parent, devotees that are Krishna's lover. Right? And they're completely satisfied. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is advising each and every one of us that we should aspire to go to that place in the spiritual world, where we can enter in a relationship. And the Cheto Dharpana Marjanam means that by chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, we can understand gradually what is that relationship. So, Srila Prabhupada makes the point in the purport that anena yogena, the process of yoga, or the process of jnana, these, at a certain stage, these things may be given up. But the process of devotional service would never be given up. It's not like you go up the ladder. The impersonalists feel like this. You go up the ladder, and as soon as you get to the top of the ladder, then you can kick the ladder away. Well, that may be true for yoga or the process of mental speculation, but it's not true for the process of devotional service. Because in the lower stage, that is the program. Hearing and chanting, hearing, right? Hearing the holy name, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. And in the highest stage also, what do the devotees do? They also hear. They hear about Krishna. We see the gopis who have the highest love for Krishna. What is their pleasure? Their pleasure is to hear about Krishna. And even when Krishna left the rasa dance, and they looked all over for Krishna, here and there. And ultimately, what did they do? They all sat down together and they began to chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So this is never given up. One should have, and it depends on one's faith. If one has strong faith that Krishna and Krishna's name are non-different, one will never even feel like to be separated from the chanting. When we're chanting with offense or not pure chanting, we're getting our rounds done, getting them done. And after we're done, bead bag, put it back in the locker. Ho gaya. Mera chanting ho gaya. That's because we're not getting that taste, that nectar from the name. Right? Why don't we get taste? Because we have so much taste for other things. We have so many other ideas that we'll get happiness from, besides the holy name. Whatever it may be. Right? But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the very first verse of the Shikshastakam, he's explaining, Pratipadam Purnamrita Svaranam. Pratipadam means step by step. Just keep chanting. Just keep taking the steps. Right? And what will come? The full taste. The full taste of the nectar of the holy name will come. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is encouraging us by these verses. But then we have to do the needful, Prabhupada says. Do the needful. Right? And what is the needful? Well, we need to chant. Right? If we're not chanting, then how will we ever get to the goal? How will we get that anandam mudivardhanam? If you don't chant, nehoga. It won't happen. So the first thing is to chant. We shouldn't neglect the instruction of the spiritual master. And what is the instruction of the spiritual master? Chant 16 rounds. Okay? If we chant our 16 rounds and we try to chant them nicely, then we can understand that the spiritual master on our behalf will intercede with Lord Chaitanya and Krishna and Lord Krishna to help us advance in devotional service. But if we don't chant, if we don't try to finish our 16 rounds nicely, then who will intercede on our behalf? Can we directly approach Krishna? Can we directly do service to Krishna? Huh? No, it's not possible. No one ever got the mercy of Krishna except through the mercy of Krishna's devotee. Right? Even Dhruva Maharaj, he wanted to obtain Krishna. But whose mercy did he get in order to obtain the mercy of Krishna? Narad Muni. Right? Yeah. There was a devotee, one Srila Prabhupada, in the San Francisco Rath Yatra. After the Rath Yatra, he asked the devotees. They were talking about the results. So many people came to Rath Yatra. And Srila Prabhupada said, Narad Muni also came there to Rath Yatra. He wanted to see the Malechas chanting Hare Krishna. So this one devotee said, wow, Narada Muni came. And that was his incentive. He would go out every day on book distribution because he thought, maybe today I'll meet Narada Muni. That was his hope. Right? So, devotees, we need the devotees' association and mercy in order to get the mercy of Krishna. We need to follow the instructions that are given to us by the spiritual master, especially this instruction to chant a fixed number of rounds, 16 rounds nicely. And then we can hope to become free from this desire for our fruitive activities. As in the gross form, in the subtle form, some distinction, some desire for adoration, right? Let's see. Even those who are liberated must always engage in devotional service. One may give up the practice of yoga when one is self-realized, but at no stage can one give up devotional service. So that point we made, the process of hearing and chanting, remembering Krishna, that is always there for the devotee. For the impersonalist, they commit a kind of spiritual suicide. Right? For such a situation, for a devotee, is hellish. Because he wants to interact with the Lord, wants to serve the Lord. By offensive chanting, one may go to the heavenly planets. If we do Nam Aparad, we can go to the heavenly planets. Result will be there from Nam Aparad. The result is heavenly planets. But what is the benefit of going to the heavenly planets? It's more of the same. Here in this Mrityulok, it's birth, death, old age, disease. In Svargalok, it's the same thing. So that would be an unfavorable situation. And then, by Namabhas, which is one step above the offensive chanting, one may go where? Where would one go if you leave this world in that situation? Brahman realization. I think that's even more hellish than the heavenly planets. Right? Of course, you'll be free from material sufferings, but there's no interaction with Krishna. There's no seva. And it's only by Shudnam, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in the Harinam Chintamani, that one can enter into the spiritual world. Shudnam. So every day, we get up in the morning, we go to Mangalartik, we begin to chant our 16 rounds, right? It's the most important part of the day, is that chanting. To sit down and hear, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So right away when you try to chant, the mind is just like a wild animal. It goes here, runs there, right? And you have to try to bring it back to one focus, and that is to try to hear. Right? And the mind will tell you, I got to chant faster, I got to chant slower. It says so many things, the mind will go. But just, it will propose, you got to do this today, you got to do that today. So you tell the mind, okay, we'll do that later, but now let us chant. We'll get to that. I'll make a note of that, but first let us chant. Well, so that way you try to trick the mind to cooperate. And what we have to do is hear. We don't have to hear 16 rounds at one time. It's not possible. How will you hear all your malas at one time? So just try to hear one mantra. Maybe you didn't hear so many, and maybe you won't hear many. But just try to hear the one you're on. Just try to hear that mantra that you're chanting right that time at the very second. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And that will be conducive for our spiritual advancement. So, are there any questions or comments about this, what we said? Mm-hmm.
Hare Krishna. We all have backlog of good karma and bad karma. So, where this good karma and bad karma are stored in, whether in soul, spirit or mind?
Where is that?
Storage.
Well, it's described in, that it's stored within the heart. And they're known as the bij, right? So different reactions for different things that we've done previously are described as like a seed. And they're stored in the heart.
But in the analysis of the anatomy of a subtle body, only false ego, intelligence and mind is given. There is no such thing as a heart.
No, but we have our spiritual existence, and there is a heart in our spiritual body. Those things that you mentioned, they become manifest as they fructify, as a seed. It comes up out of the ground as a small plant, right? A seed has a different stages. It's just lying in the mud. Put some water on it, some sunlight. It starts to come up. It sprouts, becomes, right? So the mind, intelligence, these things, they interact at that point. But those bij or the reactions, they lie within the heart. Not you know, don't think of a material heart. You're boom 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 boom. But at our in our original spiritual form, there's also a heart.
So in this, you mean to say soul, spirit, spiritual body?
Spiritual body.
In spiritual body there is a heart.
Yes.
So
yes.
It is stored there.
Yes.
Then Paramatma resides in our heart, right?
Yes.
In the region of the heart.
Yes.
In the physical aspect of the heart.
Yeah.
So where the
individual... Well, he resides in two places. In the physical aspect, he's there. But also in our spiritual form, he also resides there.
So where our individual soul is residing in our body? Our own individual soul, divided part...
Well, it's the location is within the heart.
Both. Paramatma and our own soul.
Yes.
Within the heart.
Yes. Just like two birds sitting in a tree. And because the soul is within the heart, the consciousness travels throughout the body in the form of the blood. Right? So you feel your finger because the blood flows. And the blood is carrying the consciousness from the heart, which it picks up from the soul. Just like the sunlight, the sun is situated in the sky, but it spreads its energy everywhere by the sunlight.
In Ashtanga Yoga, they say that the soul is located at the forehead, in the middle of the forehead. So, how we can... accept that or not?
Well, that's not what we hear from Srimad Bhagavatam.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Prabhu. When we practice Krishna consciousness, we reach to certain stage where we are not fully materially conscious or not fully spiritual conscious. At that time, I mean, such a struggle exists in us, you know, and something holds us back from transferring from fully material consciousness, from material consciousness to spiritual consciousness.
Yeah.
So, what should you do for that, Prabhu? That means we are neither in material consciousness nor in spiritual consciousness fully.
So, what should we do? Well, you know, in order for one to become offenseless in the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, or become perfect, of course, immediately when we render devotional service under the guidance of a pure devotee of the Lord, it's a kind of perfection. It's actually Brahma-bhuta. if you're chanting 16 rounds, following the regulative principles, it's Brahma-Bhuta. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that there's Brahma-Bhuta comes in two forms, nirgun and sagun. Nirgun means without material desires, and sagun means still we have material desires. So the situation that you're describing is a situation where the devotee of the Lord, engaged in sadhana bhakti, chanting the holy name, following, you know, active and devotional service, but still has material desires. Right? So what Narottam Das Thakur prays is that when will my desires seem insignificant? Right? To desire is always the condition of the living entity. Desire. That is the actual nature of the living entity. He's never without desire. But material desires is the consciousness that I can enjoy something separate from Krishna or Krishna consciousness. So those in the conditioned state will come. But as one does devotional service, they become not so important. Right? So the idea is when they will become non-existent, and there only will be the desire to serve Krishna, and one becomes totally free from any desire to enjoy anything here in the material world. When will that happen? That's your point, right? That's your question, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that'll happen when you get the mercy of Krishna. And that can only happen if you get the mercy of Krishna. And when Krishna is merciful, then it happens. So we're waiting. We're waiting for Krishna to be merciful upon us. But you don't have to be a passive in that regard. You can be active in your anticipation to get Krishna's mercy. Really, we're just like we're like beggars. You know, we're begging. We're begging for Krishna's mercy. We need his mercy. We have to have his mercy, right? And no one ever got his mercy unless they got the mercy of Krishna's devotees. So we're, you know, trying to get mercy from wherever we can get it. Yeah, we're bhikshu. A sannyasi is tridandi bhikshu, right? They're beggars. Beggar for what? For Krishna's mercy. So that we can come to the stage that you are talking about. Free from any other desire, except the desire to serve Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Anyone else has a question? Way in the back.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
So this concept you just told about Sagun Brahma Bhuta.
Hmm.
So is it an inconceivable concept, because
it's not so inconceivable. Prabhupada gives the example of a mango. You have a, now on the trees, you know, there's a kacha mango. But as the summer goes on, they become paka. So in the kacha stage, it's still a mango. But then when it's paka, it has its full flavor and sweetness. Is it not?
So it means that Sagun Brahmabhuti is like if future liberated person, but we consider him still liberated because he's on the path.
Like a person in the shower. If you're all dirty, your mother can say, "Oh, you're filthy dirty," right? Go in the shower. But if you go in the shower to take a bath, then she won't criticize you because you're in the shower. Right? You're on your way to becoming definitely clean. Got it? So the devotees of the Lord that are chanting 16 rounds, if you're not chanting 16 rounds, your fate is unknown. It's just like, you know, gambling. Are playing cards. No one can understand where you're headed. But if you chant your 16 rounds, and you follow the regulator principles, that's Brahmabhuta. That's pure devotional service. It has its stages. It's going to go a lot further. Right? All the way up to prema. But it's still compared to the mango, even though it's kacha. Is that okay? Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much. Grantamad Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Om.